Welcome to Voices for Justice. I'm your host, Isabel Gomez. Today we're diving into one of the most urgent issues of our time, health disparities between Black and white communities. But this isn't just a healthcare problem, it's a story rooted in centuries of systematic oppression, environmental injustices, and institutionalized racism. As we reflect on these events, it becomes clear how these moments continue to shape struggles in the present, especially when it comes to health. Together, we will explore how the past shapes our present and how I think solutions like community health hubs might hold the key to a healthier, fairer future and change our story. You'll also hear from Dr. Michelle Wan, an experienced physician. You'll hear from nurse June Yetman, with a perspective from working in the ER in Brooklyn, New York. But first, let's understand how history brought us here, because we cannot ignore our past. Our past helps us explain our current circumstances. The history of race is linked to the legacy of slavery and racism. Slavery wasn't always tied to race, but evolved into an inheritable condition for Africans, driven by economic interests. Laws like Virginia's 1662 statute mandated that children of enslaved mothers would also be enslaved. Despite oppression, enslaved individuals resisted through escapes and rebellions, paving the way for the abolitionist movement. The Civil War, fueled by leaders such as Frederick Douglass, ultimately led to emancipation. Through the abolition of slavery, didn't erase inequality. Through the one-drop rule, which classified anyone with African ancestry as Black, and segregation laws like Black codes and Jim Crow laws, Black were limited to inferior spaces, and this directly impacted health outcomes. Let's connect this history to today. Policing in America was used as a tool to control enslaved people and later enforce segregation. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. describes inequality in healthcare as, "Of all the forms of inequality, unfairness in healthcare is the most shocking and inhuman. It is the most basic of all human rights. The Black Panther provided free medical care for underserved communities. Tragic moments like the murder of Emmett Till and Oscar Grant remind us that consistent violence against Blacks destroys trust in systems meant to protect." Let's shift to environmental racism. Did you know that Warren County, Texas, from the 1930s through 1978, 5 out of 5 city-owned landfills were found in Black communities? I'm sure this impacted their health. Another glaring example of how past oppression has continued to directly impact the health of Black Americans today. We'll take a closer look at this impact when we return. Stay with us. You were listening to Motherland by Yvonne Chaka Chaka. This song was written when South Africa was fighting for her freedom. This is Voices for Justice, and I'm Isabel Gomez. Before the break, we were discussing the impact history has had on healthcare disparities, because we cannot ignore our past. Our past helps us explain our current circumstances. Black and brown communities are suffering from worse healthcare outcomes. The documentary is Racism Making People Sick, clearly highlights this.
And people in a majority white area are living almost a decade longer than people in a majority non-white area. Huge difference. Can you explain why that is?
Think about the socioeconomic differences between these two communities.
Yeah.
That difference in income would affect access to quality health care. All of those factors play a role in life expectancy.
So in the U.S., if you are Hispanic, you can expect to live to almost 82, almost 79. If you are white, about 75 if you're Black.
It's fascinating the way whiteness works when it comes to health outcomes. Racism kills.
You heard the alarming statistics. It's harder to stay healthy when the environment around you doesn't support it. Now, let's turn to Dr. Wan and get her insights. Can you describe some of the most widespread health disparities you've observed between the white and black communities in Georgia?
Definitely access to healthcare. In neighborhoods that are predominantly African American, availability of healthcare resources, preventative and emergent in nature, tend to be limited. Specifically in Atlanta, there is an area that there was one level one trauma center that served an area that was in an inner city urban population, and that hospital has since closed, and that has left that area that is predominantly African American with now a void in access to emergency care, specifically trauma care, which is really, I think, a shining example of the disproportionate access to care in minority and white populations.
Are there particular health conditions that disproportionately affect the Black community?
There are many. Some of it, you know, we know to be genetic. Some of it, though, if you think about it beyond just general genetic predisposition, is access to resources to where, yeah, I am at risk of developing high blood pressure or hypertension, but I got an early intervention by a primary care doctor seeing me and telling me that I needed to make these changes so that I was able to avoid that condition. So DC, we talked about also just the resource limitation that disproportionately affects Black people who are already at a higher risk of developing some conditions.
Thank you, Dr. Wan, for that interesting perspective. We spoke with Nurse June Yetman in Brooklyn, New York. What are your thoughts on whether the disparity in healthcare for Black and brown people have been shaped by historical oppression?
You know, it's rooted in a long history of U.S. policies and events. And this disparity reflects the ongoing impacts of racism at multiple levels, including in systems, structures, policies, interpersonal interaction. Race is a social construct. And there are no biological differences by race. And this is what's been going on from ever since the time of creation.
You heard it from medical professionals on the front lines who have firsthand knowledge of these disparities, which are shaped by this country's dark colonial past. But what can we do to fix this? This is where I believe community health hubs can play a critical role. Imagine this. You're a mother in a Black or brown neighborhood. Your child has asthma from living near a toxic landfill, but there's no nearby clinic to treat them. Now imagine a community health hub. It's a one-stop center that offers medical care, mental health support. The goal of community health hubs would be to empower communities, empower Black communities, empower brown communities, allow these communities to take control of their health by providing the resources they need to live healthily, to make sure people get the care they need when they need it. We need to retrain medical students, residents, doctors to leave their implicit bias at home. In order to accomplish this, history has to be rewritten. This change won't happen overnight. But if we take action slowly, I believe the gap will shrink. We will return in 10 seconds with a few final thoughts. Stay with us.
Hakushikwa Kenyatta peke yake, lakini alishikwa na mabingwa wa uhuru.
You were listening to Wimbawa Historia by Leila Mohammed, sung in Swahili during oppression by the British in Kenya. This is Voices for Justice. I'm Isabel Gomez. We cannot ignore our past. Our past helps us explain our current circumstances. When we look at authors like Ta-Nehisi Coates, we can see how the struggles of the past are deeply connected to the struggles of today. By addressing the root causes of health disparities, we can start building a more just and equitable future. Thank you for joining us. Keep learning, keep advocating, and keep pushing for a healthier and more equitable world. As we learn from the novel, The Hate U Give, let's keep finding our voices and speaking up against injustice. This is Voices for Justice. I'm Isabel Gomez. Until next time. Some say the black of the belly, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh.